even coronavirus can't keep us apart. Because we love you so much. From all of us at Bashani Radio app, stay safe.
Stay safe.
Stay home.
Stay home.
And keep us blasting on your phones. Bashani Radio app, always talking about everything. Download us free in the App Store. Kaboom! You heard?
Broadcasting from Bashani Radio, iHeart, iTunes, Spotify, live from New York City. This is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Don't forget to go to Google Play and download Bashani Radio app so you can listen to my calls on the go. Today we will be talking about God is still in control. I have an awesome guest for you today. He's going to drop some nuggets on for you so that you'll be able to live a better life. Hi, Edward. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, Miss Linda. How are you doing today?
I'm blessed and highly favored. I also want to thank all my listeners for listening to my broadcast each and every week. I tell you, we've been dropping some nuggets for you, so I hope you're taking them and living the best life you can. Now, Edward, what I want you to do is tell my listeners what has been the lowest point in your life and how it has gotten you to where you are today.
Well, lowest part of my life is losing my kids from incarceration. I have been incarcerated over a period of 29 years. I have left my kids out there. That was my lowest point. And what I did was I began to work on myself spiritually and mentally because I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to leave the system the same way I came in the system so I could be a better role model, leader, and lovable father and grandfather to my children and also my community.
Okay, Edward, so tell my listeners what type of sentence you got and how long you were incarcerated.
I had a Class C life sentence, and I was incarcerated over a period of 29 years.
And in those 29 years, when did you find Jesus?
I found God the first day I stepped in the system. I told myself that, as I said earlier, that I didn't want to leave out the same way I came in. So I began to work on myself spiritually, mentally and physically. I began to teach myself the way of life and how to live within my life and do what's right.
Now, Edward, I do prison ministry, and I tell you, it is a dark place. So I know you said you found God the day you walked into that prison system. So how did it help propel you into being around all that negativism? You know, prison is a dark place.
Oh, prison is surely a dark place. I separated myself from a lot of people, a lot of things. I didn't allow the time to do me. I did the time. I didn't interact with all the prison activities, all the negative activities that was in prison. As I said earlier, I separated myself from people. I separated myself from activity, and I began to work on myself spiritually. With the help of a lot of guys that I have interacted with throughout my travel in the system, it's a whole lot of guys. I can name a whole lot. If I do, it would be a book. But one of the guys that I really, really, really give thanks to is a guy called William Elmore, who has helped me throughout my journey, has been there for me, has helped me to find myself through the grace of God, because without God, none of this would be possible. But I am so thankful that I have got the opportunity to interact with this young man. He's younger than me, so he thinks he's my big brother. But at the same time, it was a blessing to meet this guy, because he has really, really helped me prepare myself, helped me to learn how to grow, helped me to better myself in all type of ways whether it was spiritually, as I said, whether it was mentally, as I said. He just was an awesome guy. He just been there for me throughout my travel with the system.
Now, was Mr. Elmore a person coming in to do prison ministry?
Oh, no, ma'am. He also was incarcerated. He had a life sentence. He did 25 years. Matter of fact, he had natural life. But through the grace of God, he is out. He got out before I did. He's been out for 4 years now. He do a lot of things in the community, a lot of things with reentry. He also is a part of so many organizations to help guys that are incarcerated, whether they're formerly incarcerated or whether they're incarcerated. He's a part of a group called Wounded Healers. He's also a director within the transitional part of housing and all type of stuff. This guy here is an awesome guy, man. He's from New Jersey, but he's been out here ever since he was incarcerated. And he's still here in North Carolina.
Okay, I detect a little northern accent, Edward. So are you from the north as well?
Yes, ma'am. I'm from Brooklyn, New York, born and raised. I began to come to North Carolina in 1986, back and forth, selling drugs and stuff like that. Pollute my community. When I say community, I'm talking about all communities. So now I'm at the point in my life where I want to get back to my community, what I have so freely took away from my community. I'm trying to get involved with youth programs, helping the youth so they won't make the same mistakes that I made. I'm also part of the Wounded Healers Project or program or organization, whatever you want to call it. But what we do is we help formerly incarcerated guys who are coming out of prison, also guys who are out of prison, find the resources that they need to be able to function in society.
Okay, so you say you were a drug dealer. Why did you pick the state of North Carolina?
It's funny that you asked that because I have family in North Carolina, and I said, well, since I got family in North Carolina, I got somewhere to stay. I had to find a way to stay, so I said, I come to North Carolina, and just start setting up shop down here in North Carolina, which was the worst thing I ever done because when I was just moving around, I was safe. But when I planted myself in a situation, this is what happened. I was incarcerated.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I think of the 31,000 inmates in the state of North Carolina, I would say about 95% of them are from a different state.
Yes, ma'am.
This
yes,
is
ma'am.
The worst state to come try to even drive through. You know what I mean?
You're right. But you know what? God don't make no mistake. I was planted here through His grace because I'm here. I found myself here, whether it be spiritually or mentally. So I'm so thankful. I hate the time that I have done, but it was a reason why that I was incarcerated. I did wrong. I accept what I've done. I set the responsibility that I've done, but I didn't come out the same person that I went in. Like I said earlier, I'm doing a lot of things in the community, not just for me, but for my community, for my children. That's what I have bettered myself for, not just for me, it's for everybody that I interact with.
Well, that is so awesome. I'm glad you decided to stay here and found your purpose here in North Carolina. Because this is a state that definitely needs some change and reform in our criminal justice system. And I hope to see you talking to legislators and congressmen on how we can change the prison system.
Yes, because the prison system is modern-day slavery now. It's not about reform in the prison system now. It's not about helping someone educationally in the prison system now. It's about making money. It's not even with the medical department. It's about making money now. It's not about helping nobody be able to find the resources they need to be able to better themselves. It's about housing guys, women and females, keeping them incarcerated, hiding them. Excuse me, I am so sorry. But that's what it's about now. It's about hiding guys, hiding females, and not helping them. There's so many people that I have left behind at Orange Correctional Facility that I was at, that I was incarcerated at. And these guys are some awesome guys. I can't say everybody is like that, but the most of the guys that I was dealing with, they're awesome guys that need help. They can't get no help. Ain't nobody trying to help them. Not even the people that the programmers or the superintendents, they're not trying to get these guys no help. They got life sentences. No, these guys have been stuck in these prisons for 30 and 40 years without no help. And you have all these other guys that need new life, these new sentences that's really in the way, really, to a degree, because they're getting out. And the guys that stuck in here with these 30 and 25 years not even getting looked at.
Wow, that's unbelievable. I know that they're just taking everything away, and prison has become a money-making business. And I was on a town virtual call with the NAACP last night, and they were talking about how the racism is there in the NFL as well. But yeah. My point to them is what I've learned, because I also worked in the chaplaincy department at the Department of Public Safety, is
right.
that they determine by the age of, by the third grade, who is going to end up in our prison system. I really thought that was mind-boggling, but here you got third grade, what, you're 8 or 9 years old? They
yes.
determine then who's going to end up in our prison system. And by our men being incarcerated with such long sentences, you know, that leaves the female there to try to raise a male. And a female
right.
cannot raise a male.
That's right.
It takes
right.
a man to raise a man.
That's right.
So we
right.
definitely have a problem with the prison system and with everything going on. I hope that, you know, we do some changes. Today is... the day we got freed as slaves, and I am just so excited that people are actually finally opening their eyes to see that, you know, we're not totally free, because in my opinion,
right.
we're still enslaved without the cuffs. You understand?
That's true. That's true. And there's a lot of that going on. The system is not for anybody, really. I say that because they took away all the schools. They're taking away all the activities. They're taking away all the resources for people to be able to better themselves. So that leaves guys and females no choice but to go out there and commit more crimes because they're not educating them. They're not giving them the right tools to take back out there in society to be able to live a productive life. So. But at the same time, it's up to that individual to find the type of tools. Because what I did was, even though I couldn't take college courses, I took a lot of self-help programs to better myself. And I took all of the programs, and I put them in my backpack, and I brought them with me out here in society. So whenever I could pick up jobs here and there, I pick them up. And I used all the tools that I took out of the system with me. I also worked in the governor's mansion as a landscaper. And I picked up all the tools there, learned how to be a landscape. I was certified in the state of North Carolina as a landscape technician right now. So I say that to say this. There's a lot of people that's in the system. You have to do it for they have to do it for themselves, because the system's not going to do it for you. And if we wait for the system to do it for us, then we're dead. It's over with for us, because we're going to come right back out here. You know, and I want to add this too, the COVID-19. The COVID-19 has been a blessing and also a curse. I am so sorry for the people who have lost their lives, for the family members that lost family members. I am so sorry for the guys, the females that's incarcerated and lost their lives. And I salute their family, you know, for being there for them. But it also hurts me that they have lost their life. But at the same time, it has been a blessing for some females and some guys that had life sentences, some guys with non-violent crimes, and they're giving them the opportunity to go back into society. But at the same time, you just can't go back into society with this blessing and then don't take advantage of it. What I mean, take advantage of it, I'm talking about it in a positive way, not a negative way.
That's right, because, I mean, it's so sad to see, like you said, people pulling life sentences. And how many self-help programs can you do over 30 to 40 years?
Wow, I took anger management. I took thinking for change. I took ethic and choice. I took masonry. I took carpentry. I took plumbing. I took all the courses that I knew that I was able to take. So when I became released, I took these things out there with me. So now, if someone called me for a job, I could do it because I took these courses. I got certified. I even took electrical wire. I took everything that was offered for me. Everything that I could take, I took these classes.
Now, did you have to keep taking them over and over again for the entire 29 years, or?
No, ma'am. What I did was I took these courses. I kept my paperwork. I went over them over and over and over and over again. And then when I got the opportunity, I used it in different places. Like, for example, I had went to a camp called Caledonia, and I told myself, I said, well, I got 18 months at Caledonia. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go down there. I'm going to learn how to drive this 18-wheeler. I'm going to learn how to drive tractors. I'm going to learn how to do this. I'm going to learn how to do that. And in 18 months, I learned how to do everything I said I was going to learn how to do. So you have to, with that said, you have to make a plan. And you got to execute that plan. And that's what I did. I learned how to do everything that I said I was going to do when I went to Cat on your farm. Tillery, my bad. I am so sorry for saying that. Tillery. You got to forgive me, too, because I've been working all day, too. I'm kind of tired. But at the same time, yes. I executed all the plans I said I was going to do.
Well, that sounds like you were like, okay, I'm going to eat all you can give me, and so I'm going to be a fat rat when I hit the street.
That's right. See, I had to do it for myself. I couldn't wait for nobody else. I could not wait for nobody else, because if I was waiting for the people that was in the system that called themselves the administration, it would have been terrible. It would have been terrible, because like I said, all they want to do is lock you down, give you three meals, tell you to go to bed, tell you to wake up, tell you child call, tell you where to go in the yard. That's all they want to do. There's no education, period. You know what I'm saying? You might get a GED class, but very seldom the GED teacher comes, and they come when they want to come. So you got guys and females that are sitting in the prison system that can't even get their GED. I got my GED the first month or second month I was in prison. I didn't wait for these people. I asked them, look, I want my GED. I need my GED. Or what I need to do. And I got my GED. So, you know, all these classes I took, I kind of forced the people to sign me up for these classes. But I knew I couldn't take college classes at the time, because if you got a life sentence, you can't take college. They feel like with life sentence, you wasted your time. You wasted their time, which is not true. But that's the system. That's the administration. And then you got these private-owned prisons, and that's run and owned by, like, governors, police chiefs, all type of politicians. And they run these private prisons. They own these private prisons, you know. And so you got the private prisons getting built, and all that tax money and stuff like that is getting wasted in these private prisons where they could be building schools. But instead, they build private prisons. They'd be a board prison.
So did you have an opportunity to be in one of the private prisons?
Yes, ma'am. I was in Texas. That's when I met the young man, William Elmore. And that's when I began to change spiritually. That's when I began to work on myself. I was in Texas, Limestone, Texas, I think. That's what they call it. It's way in the country somewhere in a private prison. At the time, they were saying that the state of North Carolina was overcrowded. So they started shipping people out to Oklahoma, Texas, Tennessee, Rhode Island, you know, different places like that, instead of doing what they're doing now, releasing people. You know, they just start taking us out of state. And these prisons that it was out of state was run by politicians. It was run by governors. It was run by police chiefs and stuff like that in these different towns.
So what was the difference in their prison as opposed to the ones run by the state?
And their prison, all their prison was a holiness cell. They didn't know nothing about what was going on. What I mean by that is they didn't know what was going on with the write-ups. They didn't know how to feed us. They didn't know. They fed us. Don't get me wrong, but they didn't know the process of that. They didn't have no structure in their prison system, really. They just wake up, feed you, clothe you, you go back to bed or go to the yard. But it's different in the state of North Carolina. They got somewhat of a structure, you know. But out of state, they really didn't have no structure.
That is real interesting. So we need to try to look at both private and state-funded prisons, huh?
You know what? It's a good book. I forgot the author's name. It's called Prison Prophetess. If you can look that up, you get that book, it will tell you all about private prisons and how they were built, how they were organized, who runs the private prisons, who owns the private prisons. It's an awesome book. It breaks it all the way down. It's called Prison Prophetess. That's what it's called.
All right. I'll try to find that. And listeners, find that as well, because we're on the agenda here. We finna shut some of these places down. At least I'm going to try to help do that, because people
right.
are wasting away that has so much potential. I mean, we
That's
all
right.
make mistakes in life, but we shouldn't have to pay for it with our life.
That's right. And you know what? I'm glad you said that, because I wanted to say that. That was on my mind earlier to say that, because, like I said earlier, I left so many talented guys. I was talking about, we had a talent show just before I left. I've only been out like 2 weeks and about 2 days. And we had a talent show not too long ago. I'm talking about guys singing, guys rapping, guys telling poetry, guys playing music. I mean, they had guys dancing. You know, sometimes people don't know their talent. Sometimes people gotta find something or find someone to help them tap into their talent. You know, and sometimes prison is like that. Like I said earlier, I did all the time that I did, but I love the persons who I am today. And with that said, I want to tell all the listeners that we have a documentary coming out. Me and a good friend of mine, his name is Mike Anderson. He's a director. He's an awesome guy. He has another program called Polished Souls. So y'all guys can look it up. Right now, we don't have the name of the documentary, but we're doing one, and hopefully soon that we can get back on Ms. Linda's show and bring you guys the documentary, or share with you guys the documentary that we're trying to do. We got a lot of guys that's in the documentary that's formerly incarcerated, telling my story, sharing my travel throughout the system, and also my travel being released. I was early released over, due to the COVID-19. As I said earlier, I am so sad for the people that lost their lives, but at the same time, it has been a blessing for a lot of us.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm glad everybody is coming out and just telling their story. You
right.
know, not just
right.
coming back out and trying to be a productive citizen, but to tell your story. I don't know if
right.
you had the opportunity yet to look at For Life with Isaac Wright Jr. He was a drug dealer he wasn't a drug dealer. He was falsely accused of being a drug dealer. And they even
In
named
New York?
Him the King, New Jersey.
Okay.
They named him the Kingpin. He had a club there and went in, busted him. Somebody planted some drugs there on him, and he went to prison on a life sentence as well, and as soon as he got in there, he was a determined individual just like you, Edward. He got his law degree in prison.
Oh, I see the TV show. It's a TV show.
Yeah, it's For Life on ABC. So I'm really excited that they're getting ready to do a second season with that, he and 50 Cent. So I'm really excited about that because, I mean, it shows the reality of prison. He couldn't really show everything, but the
right.
just the amount that he showed, it was heartbreaking.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad y'all coming out doing documentaries on this, and
thank you.
Also people need to address the racism in prison as well, because this is a very racist system as well.
It's
just like being on a plantation, I would imagine, from all
yes.
the guys and women that I've talked to. You know,
yes.
it's, like I said, you're free in a sense, but you're still shackled.
Right, right, right. It's like the pipeline from what's that called? Let me get the pipeline from prison to school to prison. Yeah.
Right, right. That's yes. exactly yes. what's going on in America.
Right, right.
Have you ever seen
that documentary called 13th Amendment?
I think I saw it a long time ago. Yes.
Yeah, you should share that with your listeners. Tell them to look at that documentary. I think it's on Netflix. You can only get it on Netflix. It's called 13th Amendment. It's the pipeline from school to prison. It's real, real deep. And I think everybody, I recommend that for everybody to look at.
Yeah, because funny that you said that a couple of weeks ago, right after George Floyd's death, God did wake me up and tell me to look at the U.S. Constitution. And I tell you, they didn't teach me the U.S. Constitution in school. I'm a baby boomer. But if we had known what was in that U.S. Constitution, I think a long time ago, I don't think we'd be in the situation we're in today, trust me.
That's true. That's true. You got that right.
All right, Edward. Well, I would like for you to drop about two or three nuggets on my listeners, telling them how they can live a better life than what we're going through right now.
Honestly, the only thing I can tell the listeners is believe in God, man. I mean, believe in God. Take God into your life and live it to the best of your ability. I know that we are not perfect. I know that we're going to make mistakes. I know that we're going to fall short to the glory of God. But know one thing. He is great. And he is wonderful. And he will help you. All you have to do is call on him. That's all you have to do.
All right. Also, Edward, tell my listeners how they can get in touch with you with social media, or if you want to give them your personal number, that's fine as well.
Okay. My number is, for the listeners, is 919-433-6933. I've been trying to give you guys my email number. Understand, I just got out of prison. So it's hard for me to remember it, but I'm going to try to give you guys my email number. Is edscasso1967@gmail.com. And please, feel free to email me, ask me any question. I'm an open book. If I can help you guys, I will. If I can direct you in the right direction, I will. And if I can't, we'll find the direction we need to go together.
Okay, Edward, I see you say you're a certified landscaper. So, you know, I tell my guys and girls when I go in there, you know, prepare yourself to work for you.
Right.
When you're coming up out of there. So we're going to roll you in that direction as to what you think God has given you to make you money. And because, like you say, it's a lot of programs in there that people can take that they can come out and don't have to go through the system of trying to work for someone else.
That's right. It's funny you said that. Yesterday I got a call from a guy that I've been knowing for a while. He said that he had some work for me. And I went out there, me and my friend William, the guy I'll tell you about, and another young man, we went out there, we knocked the job out. See, and that's what I was talking about. All the tools that I brought out here, I'm able to use them out here. I went out there, we went out there, did a landscaping job, just like that. So I tell the people, whatever you do in prison, whatever you learn in prison, put it in your backpack and bring it out here and make it work for you. 2 weeks. I've been out 2 weeks. That's all I've been out 2 weeks and got a landscaping job already for myself. I didn't have to go work for nobody else. I did that for myself. So took pictures of it, the beginning of the job, and took pictures of the job we finished. So word of mouth is everything when you try to do landscaping. So hopefully that one job will bring us more jobs, and man, maybe we could take off.
Yeah, we're going to get that business card set up, Edward, and God got great things for you. I'm real excited for you that you just didn't let the time do you. You did your time. And you
came out,
as you said, a better person than the one that you went in there.
That's right.
All right. Broadcasting from Vashani Radio, iHeart, iTunes, Spotify, live from New York City, this is the Linda Monroe Show, and I am Linda Monroe. If you want to know more about me and what I do, go to lindamonroe.com. Don't forget to go to Google Play and download Vashani Radio app so you can listen to our broadcast on the go. We're talking about anything and everything. Also, my new book is out, Overcoming All Odds, The Life I Was Not Supposed to Live. Go to LyndaMonroe.com, get your copy. I'll send you an autographed copy. I'm real excited. Got much more to come out of me, so I'll be busy the next couple of years getting those books out to you. Again, be blessed. Thank you, Edward, for doing this interview with me, and I also want to thank all my listeners for taking time to listen to my broadcast each and every week.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Lynn, for giving me the opportunity to be able to share my story.
Thank you. Great things are going to happen for you, my friend.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Have a blessed evening.
You too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye,
bye-bye.
Everybody.
The all-new Bashani Radio app for iPhone and Android. You may be in quarantine, but you are not home alone.